Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Evan and Tiki on the phone. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. We will unveil our off-season baseball plans coming up soon. But Anton Richardson may be listening to the show. Anton Richardson, of course, is the former Mets first base coach. And it just came out within the last hour that he's taking his talents to Atlanta. He will be the new first base coach of the Atlanta Braves. Anton Richardson famously given a lot of credit for all the stolen bases that the Mets had last year. Jeremy Hefner also going to Atlanta. And I said to you, Teak, while I was arguing with Tommy, that it doesn't feel like Anton Richardson wanted to come back. In fact, that's what I heard, that he didn't want to come back, especially with no other coaches brought back,
right,
and Carlos Mendoza being on the hot seat. Anton Richardson to Anthony DeComo. This is straight from him. During the negotiation process with the Mets, we weren't fully aligned on how we viewed my value. I have great respect for their process and the conversations we had. But this narrative of me not wanting to be a Met, that's kind of bogus.
Ooh.
Once I was allowed to speak with other teams, I remained open to a return to Queens until the end, while also focusing on finding an opportunity that was more in line with what I was looking for. So
that means they were being cheap.
Yes! If you believe Anton Richardson, and why wouldn't I? I choose to. He is saying, no, I was good with coming back. The Mets cheaped out and didn't want to pay me.
Or the Braves, in this case, wanted to pay him more.
Well, the reason, yes, but remember, Anton Richardson said that throughout the process, before he was even speaking
so
to other teams.
He wasn't even talking to other teams. Yeah, no, there's no other way to read that.
The Mets did not value him, which is code for they weren't paying him enough money.
Yeah, it's hard for me to hear, because I don't know what assistants in Major League Baseball should be paid.
Right.
Like, I kind of have an idea of what NFL assistants should make, but I don't have an idea. Like, how much were they cheaping him by? A couple hundred thousand, or was this the length of the deal? It's hard to know.
And in terms of being cheap, like, Anton Richardson was a free agent, right? His contract was running out, right. And he very well, his agent, if you're smart, probably went to the Mets and said, you see Juan Soto stolen bases?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see that, right? Okay. You're going to pay me a lot of freaking money,
right,
because I earned it.
That's on me.
And the Mets probably were like, no biggie. Sorry, Tommy. So now I ask you, Tom, since we have this evidence from Anton Richardson, in which I admit, well, clearly, he did want to come back, and the money wasn't there. Are you mad at the New York Mets?
Well, I'll say if I am or not before you have to apologize, though.
Oh, yeah. I apologize to you, I apologize to the audience. The New York Mets screwed this up. Mm. And look, what money we're talking about can't be big deal money. I mean, we're talking about a coaching staff. So like you said, it's not like you're paying coaches millions upon millions of dollars. And so as a Met fan, and I know that Steve spends a lot of money, he's also raising ticket prices, It is tough for me to be like, oh, no biggie, they didn't want to pay Anton Richardson. The guy made a clear difference last year, and it sucks that he's gone, and it sucks even more that he went to Atlanta. So I not only apologize to you, Tommy, I apologize to the audience for not ripping the Mets 20 minutes earlier. But I trust Anton Richardson. He seems like a noble guy. I trust him at his word. So bad job by the Mets. Would you like to join in?
I am very disappointed that Richardson is not back with the Mets.
Are you mad at the Mets?
And if it's over dollars and cents, I think that is penny-wise, dollar-foolish, as they say.
You would say it's not really a Big Brother move, is it?
I think you got to pay your best coach. I don't know what the what anything Big Brother, Little Brother has to do with anything, but I think when you look at the best coach on your staff, you got to make that work. And then when he goes to the Braves, it makes it, you know, three times worse.
Yesterday on the program at about 5 o'clock, we began something this week called Cinco de Peno, where each day one of us will give our top five most painful losses in our sports fandom. Tommy went yesterday. Sean's going to go today. I'll go tomorrow, Tiki, on Friday. And I keep getting emails and text messages about how great Tommy was. He was passionate. He was angry. He let it all out.
The details.
Because remember, that's BPT before positive Tommy.
Yeah.
The hate's grandfathered in.
But the people want to hear your anger towards the New York Mets right now because they know how much you love Anton Richardson and you wanted him back. And so what I guess the audience wants is, we want the old Tommy.
But Evan, and Tiki and Sean, you know this. As a parent, when you say you're disappointed, that's a lot worse than saying you're angry.
That's true.
I am disappointed that the Mets couldn't get on the same page with a guy that was a major asset to your organization.
Keep going. Keep going. You're doing well.
And I think that based on him going to Atlanta, I said, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
Let's see what they do with this offseason. I'm going to lay out my plan here in the next hour, and then I will even more give my take on this situation. Meaning, if they have this great offseason, it's like anything else. It's like the Cinco de Peno. If things are great after that, you feel better about it.
Sure.
But if they have a less than great offseason and they let their best coach go to the Braves, then they got to be taken to task for it.
The funny thing about this coach is that the only reason any of us care about Anton Richardson is because the Mets stole a million bases.
Yeah, I mean, they had 35 games in a row. I think that's the number. It might have been even one or two more or less. But 35 games in a row without getting caught.
It's crazy.
And then Juan Soto, who I guess he's a good athlete, but 40-40? I mean, he's not that good of an athlete. So much of it was coaching and understanding, or at least recognizing when a pitcher was throwing a breaking ball and going and finding ways to get to steal bases despite not being a blazer.
Well, the real question we don't know yet, but it's the speculation and it's the worry, is last year Juan Soto stole 38 bases and led the league. Mm-hmm. How many does he steal next year? He's a year older and Anton Richardson isn't there. And honestly, I have no idea how to answer that question. Like, right. We could sit here and guess. I have no idea. Like, if you told me it's going to go back to 5, I'd say, oh, it makes sense. But if you told me he learned something and that number is going to be 28, which would still be a great number, I guess I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, it's not like Anton Richardson just has this magic potion he's taking with him. So there's a lot of unknown to losing a coach like this. But the fact he went to the Braves, it's obnoxious.
It is, especially with Acuna, who's going to have, 75 stolen bases. Do you want to do a long-term prediction on Juan Soto's stolen bases here?
Yeah, we'll do that in February.
February? Yeah. What, should I write it down?
Yes, please.
How about Tuesday after the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Tuesday after the Super Bowl, we'll make stat. I mean, we cannot make a stat prediction on November 5th.
3:30 p.m. Yeah. Tuesday after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we like to plan long-term, so we will do that later on. We'll make our baseball plans, because remember, the offseason actually does begin in terms of free agency tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So we will unveil our Met Yankee plans a little bit later on. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Tim is in Williston Park. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how are you?
What's good. Happening?
Love both of you guys. Listen every day. Evan, I think you're misrepresenting Aaron Glenn's statements. And let me just hear me out for a second.
All right.
In the beginning of the season, he said regarding what's a successful season is that I want the fans to be proud of this organization and this team. That was, I listened to it when you guys played it. I went back and I listened again to his most recent statement today. What he said today was not, I didn't plan on them. He reiterated, I want them to be proud. But he said, I'm not saying they need to be proud right now. He did not say, I don't want them to be proud this year. He said, right now. He didn't say he gave up on that commitment from the year. So that, I think you misrepresented that.
But Tim, I played the audio. Like, this is why I play clips and not read quotes, because I didn't do anything. I literally played it. And if you heard something different, good for you. I didn't hear that. We played all of it. We played what he said in September. We played what he said today. You tell me, Tiki. You heard both.
Well, the challenge with the September audio is that it was before the season. It was, what success mean for you and for this team? And he wasn't specifically talking about
this season. He was just talking about what success is, how he's going to define it with the New York Jets, and it was, I want our fans to be proud. And obviously, he's talking about the team that's right in front of him because he has some high expectations for them. And ultimately, they stunk. And so when he gets to this stage, week 10...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
He can't say the same thing because clearly the Jet fan isn't happy or proud of this team right now. And so he just amends it. I don't mind him amending it.
I don't mind
What's wrong with amending a statement?
Because he acted as if that's not what he said in September. He was asked specifically, what makes a successful season this year? And he said, I want Jet fans to be proud. And then a few months later says, I didn't mean this season. Like, it was a full front Sessa.
True.
By the way, BT brought up something to me in text messages. Actually, a very interesting thought. I want to read this to you again. Because this is the beautiful thing about interpretations and why I actually love to hear audio as opposed to reading quotes.
Yeah.
So I read that quote from Anton Richardson, and we both assumed money. Brandon listening said, I think it meant roll with the team. Mm. Listen to it again.
Let's hear it.
During the negotiation process, we weren't fully aligned on how we viewed my value. I have great respect for their process and the conversations we had. This narrative of me not wanting to be a Met, that's kind of bogus. Once I was allowed to speak with other teams, I remained open to a return to Queens until the end, while also focusing on fielding an opportunity that was more in line with what I was looking for. So he thinks larger voice,
right.
Not necessarily money. It's a fair point.
So what would he have been looking for?
Bench coach?
Well, but he's going to, my understanding is his job title is the same in Atlanta, first base coach. We can confirm that, but maybe But Walt Weiss has said, hey, I'm also going to use you for this, this, and this. And the Mets were more specific to, no, it's just this.
Yeah,
that's certainly possible.
And BT's probably right. But when you look at it on paper, and again, most people after next week are not going to care about this. But, but when you look at it on paper, it feels like a lateral move. And why would you make a lateral move unless it was about money?
Yeah, I still think it probably is about money, but I like hearing that other possibility because it could be true. He's right, and it's the beauty of quotes. It's why I love playing the Aaron Glenn clip. You hear it, you decide. You hear that quote, you can interpret that a lot of different ways. My brain went straight to, they ain't paying me enough.
Well, if you're Anton Richardson and you look at the Mets and you think, don't argue back on this, that the manager you're working for is on the hot seat, whether you agree with that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you prefer a higher role, like a bench coach in that scenario, rather than just the equivalent of whatever he's doing with Atlanta, to go, if something goes awry with this team, I should be the next in line, even if you're not undercutting that. But by being the bench coach, you would, in theory, be the next in line to take over.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? That's probably what he's thinking.
Then that changes things, because if the Mets didn't view him as a manager, then I can understand why they would let him walk. Make sense? Like, if they view him as a first base coach and they didn't want to pay him what he wanted, okay, then you could be upset with the Mets. But if they didn't think Richardson would be their next manager and they don't want him to be the bench coach, that changes things. So that to me is where you really need to get to the bottom of this. Someone in Atlanta's got to ask him. Get one of your boys down there in Atlanta. Ask
to find out what his specific role is in Atlanta?
No, what specific
role? I don't know what you're asking.
Did he want to be the bench coach of the Mets? Or did he want to remain in his role? Because it is a little ambiguous.
Because it is a void. There's a void.
Well, it's a major difference. You're either next in line or you're the first base coach. So it's about money, or is it about wanting to be the next manager of the Mets?
And obviously the Mets didn't deem him as a bench coach because they hired a bench coach. So I don't know. We'll see what his role is specifically down in Atlanta, but I think Tiki said it best. By next week, we'll forget all about this. Until we remind ourselves in February with our Juan Soto stolen base prediction. Mm-hmm. That's when we'll know. Let's go to Kevin and Randolph. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All's good.
Yo.
I want to just talk about, I love the move the Jets made yesterday in getting the picks, but I still don't have any confidence that we can develop a quarterback, but I think I have a solution. What if we take our picks, draft a kid, and then, like soccer, we loan them either to McVay or Shanahan, let them teach them how to play quarterback for 3 years, then we get them back, all problems solved.
That's a great idea. Let's just loan them out to a team that knows what the hell they're doing. The reality is we don't know about this staff's development of a quarterback. The only evidence we have is Justin Fields. Right. And it's fair to say, is that really what we're going to judge it on? I mean, so far, you know, Justin Fields has basically been a roller coaster. He's had two really good games that jump out at you, specifically the opening game against Pittsburgh and what just happened a couple of weeks ago against Cincinnati. And the middle of it, he was all borderline unplayable. Mm-hmm. We wanted to bench him. So is that more, well, that's who Justin Fields is? Or do we look at this coaching staff and say, boy, that's an early sign that they aren't going to be able to develop a young quarterback?
Well, I think, to me, this is play calling with Justin Fields. And so he's such a unique player, and there are ways that you should utilize him that I don't think the Jets have done enough of. One is the QB run game, which we talked about a lot. I feel like he's smart enough as a runner not to be reckless. I don't feel like in his first 4 years he was a reckless runner. He ran for 1,000 yards one season, but it wasn't because he was trying to barrel through linebackers and things of that nature. But he's also a better drop back passer than he is a short drop passer. And for most of these games this year, it was all short drop. And he's just think about this. If you're a quarterback and you're taking a short drop, the first read isn't there, you are in that pocket collapse really quickly when you're only two steps behind the line of scrimmage.
Right, right.
Now, if you go get five to seven steps behind the line of scrimmage and you hit your spot, that first read isn't there, so it's a deeper route, there's more separation likely, there's more space created, because mostly, if you're talking about zones, a zone is expanding. Like, think about space expanding. You just distance is created as the play goes on. So the longer you have till you get to your release point, the more space that's going to be in the field. And Justin Fields is just more comfortable throwing into those spaces.
Right.
We saw it in week one. We saw it in week eight when they won their first game. And everything else in between was all this short step nonsense.
So what are we going to see?
Comfortable in.
So are we going to see the right stuff over the final bunch of weeks?
You better.
Of course.
Because if you don't, it's
what the hell are you doing, Tanner Engstrand?
And that leads back to, well, do you trust them to develop a quarterback if something this obvious isn't executed correctly?
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was, like, seeing things when I was went back. I was like, why was he so good last week and not the week before?
Right.
And it's immediate. You see it. It's just two-step drop, three-step drop, shuffle in the pocket, try to get rid of it. There's nothing there. Oh, crap. That tackle's now in my ear hole. I have to get out of here. As opposed to a deeper drop where it's, oh, that number one's not there. Number two's not there. All right, the tackle's still three steps away. I got some time here. Let me fire this thing in.
Interesting.
It's a different mindset. It was almost like they were afraid that he was going to make too many of those interception-worthy throws. Because in week one, there were a bunch of interception-worthy throws that he completed.
Right.
Right? It was like, dude, he put that in harm's way. Watch out. Okay, good throw type of thing.
Mm.
And they got afraid of it. And they limited him, which I think stunted him. And that's why we saw him suck and the owner basically saying he can't complete a pass.
Right.
Because he's scared to complete a pass.
Right. So, Crazy. Let's go to Joe in Cranford. What's up, Joe?
Evan, you're blatantly lying to your faithful audience. In that clip, when the question was asked, the words "this season" were never said. The only person who said "this season" was you. So you're blatantly lying.
Let's play it again then. Let's play it again. Because we're playing clips. I don't want to be accused of lying. I didn't take anything out of context. I'm playing the clip. Go plaque, Tommy, right now. Let's play the clip from September. Okay, this is the first one. This is early in the season about Jet fans being proud. Let me hear it again. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong. Go ahead.
What to you would define a successful season?
What would define a successful season?
Stop right there. What would define a successful season? Are we not implying he meant this season? Is Joe saying, well, it was just a successful season in general?
Right.
No, the question was, what defines a successful season? This is right as the season is beginning. And you're telling me I'm lying because I'm assuming that that question implied this season?
Right.
How did you take that question?
I thought it was talking about this season.
Of course!
What else would he be talking about?
What else would he be talking about? Now, in fairness, for anyone just tuning in, you can play it out in its entirety. I won't cut it off. This was September to Aaron Glenn asking about a successful season. The question from Rich Cimini.
What to you would define a successful season?
What would define a successful season? I want to be a team to where the fans will look up and say, we're proud of that team. And if they say that, I'll be happy. I'll be happy because within that, I know that wins will come.
Okay, come on now, blatantly lying. How else would you interpret the question?
Right. All I can interpret it was is this season.
Thank you, Tiki. Called a liar. Lying to our faithful audience. This is why I always want to play clips. I know, Tommy, it's frustrating. I send you all this audio. It's because when you read things, so much can change. The context of it. It can be manipulated. There it is. And you know what? If someone in the audience hears that question, we just played it three times, and you take it as not asking about this season, God bless you. You just heard it, so you can make your own decision. But I took it as this season.
Right.
Speaking of next season, let us unveil our plans. Tiki, I, Sean, Tommy, we've all worked very hard over the last few days orchestrating and manipulating fair plans for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. When we come back, what do you want to do first? Want to do the Yankees first?
Yeah.
Want to do the Mets first?
Either one.
Either one. Sean, you have a decision?
Dealer's choice, Ev.
It's your deal. You pick.
I make every decision. I want you guys to make one decision.
All right, we've done enough Mets talk. Let's do the Yankees.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
When we come back, we unveil our Yankees offseason plans. So 5 days after the World Series ends, that's when MLB free agency begins. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock, unlike the NBA and the NFL and the NHL, there isn't going to be like amazing amount of moves at 5:01. But at 5 o'clock, it will then become legal for general managers to talk to agents and talk to players. And truly, it is the beginning of the never-ending period of MLB free agency. And so on the eve of this occasion, we had a homework assignment over the last couple of days, which was to orchestrate not what we think the Mets and Yankees will do, but what we recommend the Yankees and Mets will do.
Right.
What we think they should do to win a world championship. And the one requirement I did lay out is that when it comes to payroll, we need to be realistic. The Yankees' final payroll was $304 million. They currently have an estimated $240 million committed to players in 2026, which leaves about $70 million to spend, assuming they end up with a similar payroll, which I think is a fair thing to speculate.
Yes.
I don't think we should add $200 million to the Yankee payroll. As much as Yankee fans may want that, as much as they may demand that, I don't think that's fair in this process to create a super payroll that probably isn't going to happen. So we all did our work. We all did our research. Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, of course.
Number one, they will make a qualifying offer to Trent Grisham. What does that mean? It means Trent Grisham has an opportunity to return on a one-year, $20 million deal. Mm-hmm. If he accepts that, okay, there'll be some alterations to my plan. If he doesn't accept that, fantastic. The Yankees will acquire a draft pick that they can use to help them in the future.
Do you think he'll accept it?
I think there's a chance, because even though he had a great year, what's he getting on the market, especially being attached with a pick?
But he's also young. Not old. He's not young, but he's not old.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the Yankees, if they do that, they hamstring him.
They do. And so I think it's possible Trent says, you know what, I'm probably not going to have another great year, but I also know I eliminate the qualifying offer. Once it's offered to me once, I can't have it again. I'll go back. I'll have a big year. And the reason I don't think it's a big deal for me as the Yankees is I've made the decision that I'm moving on from Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker, which is probably the headline. Like, what? Yeah, I'm going to allocate my money elsewhere. And so I'm going to need a center fielder. I do want to bring in an outfielder that's not going to cost me a lot of money or a lot of years. So if Trent Grisham accepts it, okay, he'll be my center fielder. Mm-hmm. Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, Aaron Judge, even Jose Caballero off the bench, I'm good to go. If he doesn't accept it, I will replace him by signing Harrison Bader to a two-year, $22 million contract. He's my center fielder. He gives me defense, right-handed bat. And again, Spencer Jones, left-hand hitter. Dominguez better from the left than the right. Mm-hmm. There's a value to Harrison Bader. So right off the top, that's how I'm handling center field. Just want to let you know. Aaron Judge is my right fielder. Dominguez will get every opportunity in the world to be the left fielder. And Spencer Jones is on the come. Mm-hmm. He could end up as the left fielder. He could end up as the center fielder because Grisham and Bader are guys I'm not married to. Now you may be saying, all right, wow, you let Kyle Tucker go. What are you doing with the money? Now, what I'm about to tell you may not make a lot of sense, but hear me out. I'm signing Alex Bregman.
Now, you stole my signing.
Really?
Absolutely.
See, I thought that was creative because
it's
Alex...
not creative because I'm not hunkered down by the Houston Astros stuff.
Oh, no, I don't care about that.
Yes, but I think a lot of Yankee fans might be.
Well, I think Yankee fans initially will say, where is he playing? Because he's a third baseman. No, not under my plan.
Where is he playing?
I'm going to have a conversation with Alex Bregman. First of all, I got him on a five-year deal, $165 million. So I'm paying him a little bit.
You're overpaying him.
Am I?
He might want you to be his agent.
I think that's what he's going to get. Am I crazy?
I mean, he's probably about 28 to 30-something a year.
No, he just opted out of a deal in which he was making how much money? He was making a ton of money that he opted out of.
I don't remember.
It was in the high 30s.
I got to go look.
So I figure for years I'll get him for a little bit less money,
right.
But I got to give him the years. Here's what I'm going to say to Alex Bregman. You're my shortstop this year. And then I will proceed to say, are you comfortable going back and forth? To which he will say, of course I am. I'm a team player. He was willing to do anything for the Boston Red Sox. Here's why this is important, Yankee fans. You need to take away the Volpe drug. Mm. He's a drug, and you need him to take him away. If Alex Bregman is here playing shortstop, in which I think he'll do a fine job for a year or two doing that, Anthony Volpe is exactly what I envision him to be, a super utility player.
Yeah.
How does he play? Well, sometimes Ryan McMahon doesn't play against the lefty. Bregman goes back to third. Volpe's my shortstop. Volpe could even play some second base.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is that you start getting these guys playing out of position like you did last year. Not that they can't do it. It's just that they're not as comfortable as they would be elsewhere.
Okay, so that is a fair concern. First of all, the only guy playing out of position would be Bregman, but I think he can do a solid job playing shortstop. And if Anthony Volpe earns this job back by performance, no matter how much money I'm paying Ryan McMahon could be the odd man out. Ends up back at third. Right. Volpe's at shortstop.
He's also likely to be unavailable at the beginning of the season. Volpe.
So exactly.
So you're going to need a shortstop anyway.
He is my shortstop.
I addressed it differently.
And honestly, I also view this long term. Ryan McMahon's here for two more years. George Lombard Jr. is probably a year or two away. Mm. Eventually, Bregman's the third baseman. I just signed him to a five-year deal. He's going to be my third baseman, but in the shortest of terms, he's my shortstop. And I think he'll do a solid job playing that position. I thought about Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette's not even a good shortstop. So, like, I'm more intrigued by Bregman because eventually he's going to play his natural position. He puts the bat on ball to the same level as Cody Bellinger, if not better, and he draws more walks. I think he's a better player than Cody Bellinger, and I think he would fit a need more than Cody Bellinger because I have outfielders. I have outfield prospects that could develop. So Bregman is my big move with an eye on eventually being my third baseman but being my shortstop. But I'm not done yet. I got two more moves because I still have some money to spend.
Go ahead.
I'm signing Michael King to a one-year contract, and I'm going to overpay him to get him here. I'm going to give Michael King about $26 million for 1 year.
How old is he right now?
I think he's 30, right on the dot.
Yeah.
Now, he is projected to be getting a three-year contract. No, no, no. I'm going to whisper to Michael King and say, Mikey, you come have a big year for me, you're going to get a five-year contract. You're good. And here's the beauty of Michael King. Number one, solidifies my rotation that's going to have injuries early. But that's not the best part, Tiki. Late in the year, if I'm healthy and I got Cole dealing and I got Rodon dealing and I got Schlittler dealing, guess where Michael King goes? To my bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
How loaded is that? Because I don't love the bullpen guys that are out there. Like, I'll sign guys to short-term deals for a few million dollars, but there's no way. Kenley Jansen? Raisel Iglesias? I'm not doing that. They're also not going to blow away the Mets and get Edwin Diaz. So
right.
I like King to solidify my rotation and also be transitioned to the bullpen. I'd signed Elias Diaz to be my backup catcher because I'm sick and tired of having lefties all over the place. Goodbye, J.C. Ascara. And then the trade I would flirt with, if it's available, is Jason Dominguez for Kwan. Mm-hmm. Because then I get the proven left fielder. I'm giving the Guardians more years of control. But if I don't do that, I'm fine because I got Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez as my left fielders. So my additions are Grisham gets the qualifying offer. If he accepts it, great. If he doesn't, Harrison Bader on a two-year deal. Alex Bregman to play shortstop in the time being. Michael King, Elias Diaz, Harrison Bader, and potentially Dominguez for Kwan. How great is my plan?
No, it's a pretty good plan.
Thank you.
I mean, I can't argue with it. You stole one of mine, but that's okay.
Stole one of yours.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So,
holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can
can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We'll start with the third base. I was trying to find Alex Bregman. I had to go on Fangraphs. When was the last time he played shortstop, dude?
A couple years ago, he's filled in there.
You got to go way back. I went back a couple of years to 2023. I don't see any shortstops. He's all third base.
He can play shortstop, I'm telling you.
Of course he can play shortstop, but I don't want the Jazz thing to happen again that we saw last year. So, Alex Bregman, I'm signing him. I'm not nearly paying him as much as you did because he's 31, almost 32 years old.
So, he is going to be 32 years old on opening day or right around opening day.
So, do we want a 35-year-old with two more years left on his deal? Alex Bregman, no. So I'm going to pay him 4 years, 140 or so million. It's about what you were talking about in that $30+ million range. And he's going to play second base. I did it different than you. I did it from here's my starting pitchers, here's my relief pitchers. And I had issues with the relief pitching as well. I didn't even fill it out because I'm going to assume that Tim Hill and some of these other guys that are coming back are going to fill the void. There's too much nuance to go try to find a relief pitcher at this stage. So Cole, Fried, Schlittler, Rodon, Luis Gil, Bednar, Williams, that's what's guaranteed. Catcher, Austin Wells. First base, this was my big signing of the offseason. For first base, instead of re-signing Cody Bellinger and using him all over the place, I'm like you, not keeping him. They go get Seattle's Josh Naylor.
Oh, my God. That would piss Yankee fans off. They don't like him.
It doesn't matter. I want the best player.
He's a good ball player.
I want the best player.
He's a good ball player.
And there's too many, this is a Yankee on this team.
What are you going to do with Ben Rice, though?
Ben Rice is going to be my utility player.
Basically the way he was handled this year, DH, catcher a little bit.
100%.
Okay.
And so give him a 4-year deal, average around $15 million a year. He's not going to cost you a ton of money, Josh Naylor. Maybe closer to 20, but whatever it is. And Jazz is at second. At shortstop, this is a cheap deal, but it's a worthwhile deal. Because I still think that the Yankees want to believe in Anthony Volpe. So I'm re-signing IKF.
Oh, God.
Give me IK. Look, he played on a championship
he just
team.
Them a World Series.
It doesn't matter. So he's not going to go back to Toronto because they hate him. Come back to New York. He's a really good player, and he can play shortstop in Volpe's stead.
You know why you are an evil genius? Yankee fans will hate IKF so much they'll pine for Anthony Volpe.
Maybe
that's actually brilliant.
Maybe, but he'll be viable.
Yeah,
he's not a liability, and it's cheap.
Right.
It's going to cost you $30 million over 3 years or whatever the heck it is. So I'm not really spending the money. Bregman at third base, as we talked about. I have Dominguez in left field. Spencer Jones playing center field. Judge and then Stanton at the DH. So my offseason expenditures are less than $35 million.
What are you doing with Ryan McMahon, though? See, with me, with Bregman, he's going to play some third base when McMahon sits against the lefty, but they are paying him $16 million a year. So under your plan, are you just dumping him?
Maybe trade him.
Wow, okay.
Maybe trade him for a relief pitcher.
All right.
That's what I haven't figured out.
Fair enough. I thought my Bregman thing was going to be original.
Well, he's the best third baseman available.
Right, he now also fits the grindish nature of what the Yankees need.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because he is that player who is going to hit for, 270 every year, 280. He's going to hit 20 home runs.
He's clutch.
He's not scared of the moment.
The thing about playing him at shortstop, because I do want to explain it, because he hasn't done it in a while, you are right, is that I believe that the Yankees need to bring someone in that would make it very difficult for Aaron Boone to go back to the drug of playing Anthony Volpe. Like, IKF doesn't do that. Yeah. Jose Caballero being here doesn't do it. None of that does that.
So look,
someone like that would.
I think in retrospect of last season, if you go back and think about it, and Sean identified this right away, I don't know how to truly evaluate this season for Anthony Volpe. Because I think he was hurt really early.
Well, then look at the last three seasons. He has never developed into what they expected.
But he was clutch in the postseason.
Okay.
And it was only his third year.
But that's why I'm not fully blocking him, because the ability of Bregman to go to third base means Ryan McMahon could eventually lose playing time.
I'm not blocking him at all. I have a cheap option that we're familiar with, playing shortstop.
No, but here's what the problem that you're making, in my opinion, is that you're not blocking him enough. Like, you're making it easy to go back to him. I'm making it, hey, if you earn it, there's a way for me to go back to you, but it's not as easy as IKF's in front of you.
But that costs you.
Yeah, but it is, but it doesn't, because the way I laid this out is my payroll is going to end up the same. Now, I'm not bringing Bellinger back, which you're not doing either, which right. I know a lot of Yankee fans may dislike, but I'm viewing the outfield. First of all, I'm viewing Ben Rice as the first baseman. That's where we disagree. Mm-hmm. Give Ben the first baseman's glove. He'll become good over there, at least decent over there. Give him time. He's the first baseman, end of story. Maybe I've been bringing a backup like Ty France, who can play the position well, but off the bench. I have enough young outfielders between Dominguez and Spencer Jones and a center fielder who's a glove first player,
right,
whether it's Bader or Grisham coming back, that I don't need Cody Bellinger. Mm. I really don't. And I think I'm left-handed enough now. So I think that while he was a good Yankee, and I got nothing against him, I think I would serve myself better by bringing in an infielder, especially someone who could play on the left side of the infield.
Someone to challenge Volpe. That's where they come from.
And also, look at the left side of my infield right now. Ryan McMahon is a good glove, but he don't hit much, and he doesn't hit lefties despite the home run he hit in game four. And what's my shortstop? Caballero, Volpe, Lombard is still a year or two away. So I'm trying to even out my roster by being better on the left side of the infield, which right now is not good enough.
Okay.
All right, Sean, go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to say this. You guys went very focused on the left side of the infield. Unfortunately, you can't help some drug addicts, so I'm leaving shortstop alone and assuming that Volpe's eventually going to take that job. I just want to get that off the plate, okay? That was a terrible way to reference it, but follow up. Cody Bellinger's Mr. Yankee. They're going to flirt with Kyle Tucker. He's going to sign a 7-year, $180 million deal.
Oh.
Okay, you could all you want.
No, that's fine.
With the future flexibility, perhaps, for
somebody
space,
else.
Follow along here.
All right.
We're also going to retain Devin Williams after all. He's going to Nick games with Aaron Judge.
Wow.
Right. I kept Devin Williams.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So around 3 years, $54 million comes into about $18 million a year following the reliever market. I feel like for a guy who's not going to be paid to be
You're going to give Devin Williams $18 million a year?
I am.
You buried the man. This, look,
am but I allowed to finish?
But he was good.
Yeah, this off-season plan, like, I'm going to hold against you for the rest of your life. Okay. First of all, you've just accepted Volpe's the shortstop, that which I'm stunned by.
That one I don't get.
This is your plan, not Brian Cashman's plan, your plan. You're saying, I am rubber-stamping Volpe as my shortstop. And oh, by the way, I'm rubber-stamping Devin Williams to be one of the highest-paid closers in baseball.
I was told that this had to be a realistic plan.
Yes, from financial standpoints. You can pick who you want, who you think is best for the team.
I, unfortunately, am so beaten down by my teams that a realistic plan does not involve not having Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Mm. So that was my interpretation.
All right.
I'm not telling you I want to. I'm just telling you what I interpreted.
That's fine.
Okay. They're going to get a right-handed option to help Ben Rice whenever he slides over to catch in DH. I'm giving 1 year, $12 million to Rhys Hoskins. I think he's going to play a little first base as a free agent. Okay?
No, that's not bad. I like that one.
Okay.
Can't play.
I'm also going to bring back reasonably Rosario. Obviously, Caballero's there. Let's fill out the bench. The Yankees are then in turn going to make two trades that I think fans are going to love.
Trades. Let's go.
Okay. They're going to go to Cleveland, and they're going to get their leadoff hitter in Stephen Kwan.
Oh, you like the Kwan idea.
The headline package in that deal is they're trading Luis Gil to give Cleveland some upside at the top of their rotation. Now, you might be saying, well, are the Yankees in position to be trading, starting pitching, knowing what's going on at the top? Well, they just got Stephen Kwan to lead off and play left. I brought Bellinger back. They're trading Jason Dominguez. They're trading Chase Hampton. They're trading Bryce Cunningham and Dax Kilby. Major prospects to the Florida Marlins.
This is ridiculous.
Sandy Alcantara.
This is why I should have went before Sean. I don't even have to go now. That was my trade. I already made it. Why is a Yankee fan not featured last? I should have went, and then you should have went. What does that note say?
Well, you could go.
No, I'm not going to go now.
By the way,
you're out of the Met one. You're out of the Met one.
I feel like you killed my buzz. I feel like I just gave the Yankees
you had a great move there, but we should have compared notes.
All right. That's where I'm at. So Kwan and Alcantara in two massive deals, bring back Bellinger, bring back Williams, and plug the bench a little Rhys Hoskins right-handed option at first base.
I like his plan towards the end. The beginning of it I didn't like, but I like the idea of... using Heel, because we had talked about this. The Yankees have pitching depth despite the injuries to start the season.
Yeah.
And Luis Heel is a guy that you can use as a trade chip. And using him as the headline in the package, because I think it's going to cost more than Heel to get Kwan, just to be fair. So I think
right,
you're making...
Well, insert other guys.
I interpreted it that way. It's Heel as the headliner in a deal for Kwan. And then, boy, you came flying for Alcantara.
Well, that's you got to load up.
That's a huge return back.
You got to load up.
I give you credit. That's like Met fans killing me for my Tarek Skubal deal. Like, it's too much. That's a lot. But, hey, you came to the party with a lot. So you end up with Cody back, Alcantara in the rotation, Heel gone, Kwan in left field, and Bellinger back.
Yeah. And so then the idea
is... And you're retaining your infield, which is going to be McMahon, Volpe, Chisholm.
And you might be asking, well, sure, what does that mean for Spencer Jones? What my assumption is we're going to play another year out here where Giancarlo will end up on the IL,
right.
Judge. You know, there will be a moment where Spencer Jones gets called up and where the chips lie where they may. Maybe it ends up where Ben Rice catches more, Austin Wells sits more, and you move Bellinger to first. Like, all of that is
in
play. Ben
Rice can float around, catcher, first base, DH.
There will be at-bats down the line at some point through injuries for Spencer Jones, and then you re-examine after the year where you want to go
from
there.
I like it. I think that's a good plan. All right, Tommy, I know you're all depressed and all, but you can still make your plan even though you copy John.
Yeah, but I had this whole dramatic thing planned out.
Well, just do it then. You don't need to be dramatic.
Well, we're doing radio here. I thought it'd be fun. Kyle Tucker. That's the crown jewel. That's the big splash. That's my big free agent signing if I'm Brian Cashman. But where will Kyle Tucker play? I don't know. Stay tuned.
Is that going to be a dramatic?
Okay. I am going to... The Yankees have made a trade. Break the glass. They are sending Jason Dominguez, Austin Wells... and Luis Heel for Freddie Peralta.
Oh, so but it was Sandy Alcantara.
No, it was on my list, but I don't want to have the same thing as him. So I wanted.
So you just pivoted to Freddie Peralta?
Of course, because why? Yeah. So it's said Alcantara, but now it's going to be Freddie Peralta.
By the way, Tommy, you can keep it as Alcantara. I said Bregman, and Tiki didn't need to pivot. He was just like, I'm doing Bregman too.
No, because that was going to be my big reveal. Like free agencies, everybody knows the free agents. The trade was the big reveal.
All right, so we're going to keep it as Alcantara. Okay. I don't think you should change it. There's no reason to.
Dominguez,
plus
Wells.
You really overpaid for Freddie Peralta. He's a free agent at the end of the year. But go ahead.
So Dominguez, Wells, and Heel for
$8 million this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So Dominguez, Wells, Heel for Sandy Alcantara. I agree with Tiki and Sean. You don't give up a decades long beard policy for one guy for a one night stand. So you re-sign Devin Williams. Ben Rice is my catcher. Tucker is my first baseman. Spencer Jones is my left fielder, and me and Evan are sharing a brain. I went with Ramon Laureano at center field, but I just think the Yankees need guys with some stones. Bader's a good option, too, but they just need those, like, pit bull guys. So Laureano's my center fielder. That's my offseason.
It's funny that of all four of us, only one of us said Kyle Tucker, because he was the guy that for a year out, we were like...
You don't know how much that's going to cost you.
It's going to cost a lot.
That's the challenge, and you said be realistic. It could cost you your whole budget.
Yeah, here's
not
the
quite, but you know what I mean.
The issue with Kyle Tucker is A, staying healthy, but B, and he kind of touched on this, he's a right fielder. And I would not move him to first base. I disagree with that. He's a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. So who are you moving to first base? Is it Aaron Judge? Are you moving one of them to left field? Judge can certainly play left field, but they're really both right fielders when you think about it.
In my plan, Tucker's the first baseman now, and he will flip-flop with Judge in a year or two.
Yeah. No, I get you. I don't love that because I think he's a Gold Glove caliber player and you'd be losing a part of his value by not having him there. But the other thing about Kyle Tucker is he had such a weird year this year. You wonder, like, do you want to give him $400 million? That's probably what it's going to take. Yeah. But I think the outfield question is this.
I avoided those massive contracts.
Because it's massive.
Yeah.
He's going to get a massive contract. He really is. It's not going to be Soto, but it's going to be very high. He played left field early in his career, so you could simply say, all right, you're the left fielder. But that opens up center field to whom? Like, you guys both traded Jason Dominguez, so I guess that makes it easy. But Jason Dominguez as a center fielder?
Right.
Spencer Jones is a center fielder.
I didn't trade Dominguez.
No, I know you didn't. And I thought about doing it in a deal for Kwan, but it makes sense in the trades you talked about.
Look, soon he's going to be playing third base, as we saw in the warm-up to the divisional round.
Yeah, we did see that. We'll come back and get your phone calls. What do you want the Yankees to do? Four people with four very different plans. Some crossover, but overall very different.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.